the film joined Twitter space Let's Talk Film. My name is Don Tekimrex, and as you all know, I'm co-hosting this space with partner Gbenga Adeoti. Today's space is free for all. Like many times, we try to have spaces like this once in a while, where we allow everyone speak, or you can join in the conversation, and so the conversation is more interactive. And for today's topic, we've selected what film or films shaped you as a filmmaker. I think this is very important, because I think the kind of film that shapes you as a filmmaker would, you know, determine kind of film that you bring out, you know, that you produce. So there are some filmmakers that you just automatically know the kind of films that, you know, shape them, and their taste in films. Let's put it like that. Yes, their taste, assuming that we are all eating films. So your taste in films will shape the kind of films that you put out there. So, you know, so what inspired you to become a filmmaker? Basically, that's really the question that we're asking today. And so we'd like everybody to participate in this. So please request to be a speaker so that, you know, we can have you speak. So what film or film shaped me as a filmmaker? So for me, I think I'll start with me, then probably move to Benga. I would go around. So what films shaped me as a filmmaker? I think in general, I don't know when this started. I think, first of all, I think a lot of animation has influenced my filmmaking mindset. And when I mean animation, I mean cartoons. Because the reason why I say this is because one of the first reasons that I got into film is because of cartoons. I just loved the way some of these stories that I watched as a young child, with these cartoons were told, excuse me. You know, the cartoons, like I watched, I don't know, I'm sure some of you watched them growing up on Silverbed TV. There's this show, Biker Mice, there's this Silver Hawks. They just had a lot of cartoons like that. And it's probably what made me go into animation at first. There's nobody that I talk about or I tell about my filmmaking journey that I don't tell about how I first went into animation. You know, I don't want to say it's a journal. I went to animation. In fact, I learned animation. I probably would have been, if I continued on that path, maybe I'll be part of the people that are doing or that did these next Transformers that just came out. You know, when you are scrolling through the end credits and you get to the animation list and you just see 10,000 people, you just see Don in Tekirex. Because that's how into animation I was, you know, at a very young age. Young, that is 16, not young, 10. By 16, I was already doing animation and I was really, really into it. So I would say, animation, inspired kind of films that I'm into and kind of films that I make. But then second of all, I think horror movies in general. I'm trying to pinpoint particular movies, but I'm not just getting it, and that's why I'm now, it's not like I'm using genres. So I have horror movies, when I say horror movies, I always sound like someone that is a psycho. Because when you say, I love horror movies, what kind of human being loves horror movies? But I see horror movies that I love the dark aspect to stories. You know, I don't like stories that, like I'm a baby boy in a baby world kind of story. So you see me drawn towards movies like that. So for example, the first time I watched Riddick, The Chronicles of Riddick, was very young, and I was so like into it. I'm very young and into it, but I couldn't really watch it, like, for two reasons, and I don't even know why. Until now, I still don't understand why I was not allowed to watch it. So I was not allowed to watch Riddick because apparently it was too scary. And if anybody has watched the movie Riddick, you'd be asking yourself, like, what's the meaning of scary? How they do? But there was this dark feel to Riddick. There was this dark, mysterious feel to the film. And then when, you know, would watch it, they would, not me, my mom, you know, would watch it at night. They would send me inside, go and sleep. But I was attracted to that, you know. Then Harry Potter. Oh, God. Harry Potter. I couldn't watch Harry Potter till I was in year two. And, like, not couldn't, but I would say I was not allowed to watch Harry Potter when I was very young. Until it was when I got into university that I was not like, oh, you know, let me finally now watch it. But then you can see, I loved Harry Potter, for example. I wanted to watch it, so my dad bought Harry Potter, the CD, for me. It was a CD, yes, it was a CD. Ah, God. Told my dad, I love this movie. I probably saw the trailer or whatever. I don't know how I saw it. Said, I love this movie. He didn't know what Harry Potter was, so he bought it. He bought it that night, sat down with the family, watched Harry Potter. He watched it once and he said, what? Witchcraft? And what you witchcraft? A boy that has witchcraft in him? Nah. In fact, you're not watching this thing again. And by that time that I was even watching it, I think part two had come out. So, you know, in my mind, I'm watching this part one and I'm already thinking, oh, you should buy this part two, but it just, you know, banned. And I was so fascinated with a boy talking to a snake, you know. That kind of thing really fascinated me. Those were the, and funny enough, and that's why I still trying to understand why was I drawn towards things like that, because I was actually shielded from things like that. So, but then I was drawn towards things like that. I was drawn towards this dark side of cinema, this, you know, mysterious side. So you see me watching thriller movies, you see me watching horror movies, you see me watching a sci-fi movie, but then there's this dark feel about it. You get that kind of thing. If you watch my movies, any kind of movie or any kind of thing I do, there's always this supernatural element that I always try to add into it. And that's because I feel like there's always some kind of dark element that can be infused into any story. Sometimes I think about it and I feel like maybe it's a problem. But then those are the kind of movies that I watch. So I would say thriller and, you know, horror movies, generally speaking. But say a movie in particular, I wouldn't say, but I think I've named two. So, like, growing up, I watched the likes of Riddick and I watched, like, Harry Potter. Those things, those movies kind of like shaped me in terms of the kind of movies that really compelled me. Well, right now, because, you know, things have evolved, right now I would say the kind of movies that really fascinates me and the kind of movies that I would like to do are more in line with the kind of movies that, for example, Christopher Nolan does. And probably the only movie that I would say Christopher Nolan is doing now that is more, how will I put it, direct, is this Oppenheimer that is coming out more recently, this year. No, but in terms of his movie, look at his movies are, how will I put it, is it intellectual or deeper than just your average movie? And so I would say he inspires me in that aspect to bring out some, you know, higher level of storytelling. But then the difference between, probably the difference between me and Christopher Nolan is that I always like to add the mystery and thriller element into my own story. So, what film shapes me as a filmmaker? I think that's the idea, basically, if you're talking about films that shape me.
Yes, yeah. Mysterious Man.
What did you say?
I said Mysterious Man.
Yeah, Mysterious, exactly. So, you know, because I'm looking at even ideas that I try to churn out at every point in time, and like at least on an individual basis, and I just see that I just find myself doing, adding some kind of mystery. It's almost there's a story that I just wrote, and that was for this techno come on stuff, short film stuff. And when I was thinking of the story was, in fact, like, I think we had already like said, oh, this story is just going to be about someone from the call center and everything. And I was like, what kind of call center? Just call center, hey, what happened? And so I just said, hey, let's put in something sinister. Let's put in something demonic. Let's put it. And when the thing happened, I think there was just like some kind of thing in my head. I said, I'm done. Are you sure there's no something you need to go and like look at your past? Maybe there's some one trauma or something that happened to you that's making you always try to infuse things like this.
In my other world,
I mean, maybe there's something that is trying to do something or tell me something. But I think personally that's my own like short story on what I shaped me as a filmmaker. So I think I'll move on to what's it called, Benga now.
You have questions
for me. Because now I've done my TED talk. This is, you guys can package it, you know, for later.
Everybody is speaking on this page. This question is, I feel like I'm always odd whenever I hear this question, like why filmmaking or what shifts into, like I feel like I'm always a odd one out. I remember my interview in Elka during Elka this time, when Mr. Daniel asked me why filmmaking, like why directing, as in he just felt like blessing that only me that get one story behind. I watched this film, and then after seeing this film, it still now made me say, I was going to film this kind
you,
of
you don't know, get spiritual intervention. Now why?
No, mine are just I've just always been, I think it's motivated by life generally. You understand? Like when you see some aspect of life and you just feel like, and then you are not the talking type and you feel the best way to express yourself is through film. Yeah, like it's the perfect medium to express or say whatever thing that is in your mind. Like you don't have a, what is it called now? Not necessarily a book to write, or you don't have a platform. You're not the talking type or the one that usually out there, or the hugging type, or you know when people bring up discussion or conversation, and then everybody's talking, and then you see some kind of thing, and you feel the best way to communicate your idea or for people to understand what how you're feeling better is to pass it through film. And then for me, that was it for me. Like, it wasn't like, because I'm always the man, even on our spaces, like whenever we have a guest and then someone comes on and we all, you know, we always ask this question, why filmmaking and all that. And then they start saying their story. We're like, okay, well, it's good. But I believe I'm not the only one that does not have that kind of, doesn't have that kind of experience.
Well, but yeah. I mean, like you said, yeah, it's not, yours is more of, how will I put it, like, your need to express yourself. And you feel like the best way to express yourself is through film, at least from what you just said. Mm. Yes, that's what I can get.
Yeah, exactly. So it wasn't like I saw one film. Of course, yes, growing up, I loved watching films. Like I'm a film person, even when they try to stop us from seeing TV, because I come from that kind of house where once time reach, I think 8 or thereabouts, they don't lock the TV. When they lock TV, they don't lock the TV, like, and there is a kind of limitation to the kind of films, again, that you see then going up. Like, there's just too much, yeah? So I'm always, I love TV, yeah, but I cannot really say that actually motivated me or pointed me to like, I must do it. I feel again, I'm very expressive with the film kind of medium. So I feel like, especially with music too, because I kind of love this sense I have while seeing, especially impactful film. Like, there are some film, I'm always of the saying that if a film has not, how do I usually put that saying? If a film is supposed to make you feel something, yeah? So if you've not had that feeling from seeing a film, that I do not think that film has achieved its purpose. Like, if a film does not make you feel something, then no, that film is not, I don't want to use the word bad, but I don't think it's good enough. Like, does not achieve its ultimate purpose. The ultimate purpose of a film is to, it's to make you feel. So the feeling can come in form of a message or anything, but you have to feel some, like, it has to leave something in you. Like, you have to always remember it, even in your subconscious or when you're unconscious, kind of. It has to just be part of you. So that's, on my own personal note, has actually driven me to kind of, man, I must make movies. See, yesterday, where I see, I've not seen Everything Everywhere All at Once. I think I saw it yesterday. I saw you shout for your DMC. Guys,
Yeah. Where people don't shout. They watch, they shout.
Relax. Relax. So, you understand, like, I love that. I saw this film, say, Top Gun. And I know that I don't see Top Gun.
Yeah, I've seen Top Gun.
Yeah.
The new one, Nabi.
Yes, the new one. And yeah. Funny enough, I kept asking myself, and it's the way these people tell stories. Like, you just speak very simple life drama, but the way you tell that life drama, that simple story, just so extraordinary. And then you just, like, the thing is, for me, I just love brilliant movies, like movies that makes you think, that makes you see life in the form you're supposed to see it, you understand, and not just to be lost in it. Yeah, so for me, that purpose has always driven me, like, man, and even a kind of what is it called now, a kind of certainty or assurance that no worry, you're on the right path. I'm not like, you are not really sure if this is what you want to do or this is not what you want to do, or are you sure? Maybe you should just go and get one 9 to 5. Like, this one, you are sure that no worry, now here we die, whether sometimes you're not necessarily getting what you want from what you're doing, yeah, but you just stay put into your race. Like, you're not distracted by, okay, this person is doing some of that thing, maybe you should do that, or no, you just stay put to what you're doing, and because you've seen something in it, and you believe that that is your calling. I always use that word calling, because again, all of us get our different ways. So I
but
think.
But what if we never know our calling? What if I just say?
Yeah, now you don't know your calling, now.
How you won't know whether now your calling? How you go know whether now your calling?
No, you would see. You would know. See, you would know if it is your. You would. Even if you're not necessarily getting what you want from it, the fact that you find peace doing, I cannot put in words the amount of the joy or the feeling I have when doing film.
Yeah, I have a lot of joy when I'm playing game.
When you're playing game. You don't miss your calling. Go back.
Yeah, it's
nice.
I don't miss my calling.
No, but the thing is, if you're a very sensitive person, yeah, you have that sense deep down in your spirit that this is the right thing I am doing. Like, you won't, I don't think you would hardly be distracted, for lack of a better word. Yeah, you would hardly be distracted by any other thing. Like, nothing would move you on apart from what you are doing, Gongo. Like, that film, or if it's film, if it's producing, if it's directing, if it's acting, if it's whatever it is, you would hardly, like, you would not, you, even if you leave film, you won't have that peace, like that peace in other areas. Like, it will just be as if you are existing in the world where they're supposed to be living. Yeah, like it's more like you're not fulfilling your purpose. And funny enough, each time I see film, like, it brings me back again to that consciousness that, damn, guy, you're a filmmaker. Like, this is what you live for. Like, this is what you have to do. And that has shaped my mind as a filmmaker. That has shaped my mind. And that is why I love to watch intelligent film, like brilliant film, not just any kind of film. Because, and I always advise that people should watch good films. It's needed to us as filmmakers. But those films shaped you subconsciously, and it shaped the way you do things. Film is a very strong medium. Mm. Film is a very, very strong. We may not realize it, but
consciously and unconsciously, we pick some of these things. The kind of movies you watch will reflect in the kind of things
reflect in your way of doing things, your life, your mannerism in some things, and it will just So for me, that has actually been what has shaped me as a filmmaker, and in as much as I do not have one a mysterious film.
but at least you can give us like the, how will I put it? Well, okay, you said intelligent film, but that's very general.
Like, if you ask me what is my best genre, I cannot state one for you. Yeah, because like whether action, whether thriller, horror, I love all films. So far as the film is good and extraordinary, like, it's for me, I think one of the things that actually catches my eye or catches my attention is the way stories are being told. Like, a good instance is this past the films that were entered for in the short film premieres. Yeah, you and I can be a witness to that. Like, the way the stories are told, like, you'll be like, man, I've not even started making movies. Yeah, and that is it for me, because when you pick a story, what differentiates you from every other filmmaker is how you tell that story. Because again, no story is new. Like, you don't get the way when you tell that story. It is not a new story. It is not new. But how you show to tell that story, it is what is new. So it has always been what has always driven me. For instance, okay, today I was watching, I don't know if you've seen, what is it? Nomadland. I mean, Nomadland. See how slow and quiet and very, what is the word for it now? Very inconvenience in the film is, but I love it. Everybody will go watch that film based on the way the film be, because it's just slow, dull, one person, and you're seeing this person's life. But I love it. Why? Because of, like, I'm literally seeing beyond the film itself, yeah? And it's expanding my own knowledge, not just as a filmmaker, but also as a person, as a human, right? So that has always been it for me and film. I don't think I leave film for any other thing, because it makes me see beyond the pictures itself, and always drives me to, when I know this, my place in the express, and always drives me to think beyond. For instance, I have some story idea now, just between yesterday and today, and they are just very simple story, but they have extras, like extra thing inside these stories. And I feel like if I want to tell this story now, my heart, like my mind is widening enough to tell it differently from the usual story we see every day. I go point out the thing to my man, Owen, talk one of these days. As in, seeing, and that is one of the reasons again why I love Owen's style of film, because I saw one of your films recently, Owen, on YouTube, the one you posted recently on YouTube, the one with just a single character making call. And he could have actually framed that in 16:9 and just do normal this thing. But yeah, he just fixed his camera, and then the framing is kind of different. But you would want to see you'll be connected to this character, and again to the way the story is being told, because it is different. It's not just your usual. I kind of did an experiment too with Bruised, what I did with Yomi some years back, just one single character. So I've always been a fan of monologues, yeah? And I thought, okay, instead of this normal, doing a normal, and I would also encourage actors to, instead of doing this normal monologue, only you stand before a camera and then talk, why not do a drama in the monologue? I don't know if you get, like, just the way normal film is, yeah? Let's take short film now, for instance. But now it's a monologue, only you acting. And then we're seeing the character. We may or may not see the characters you're acting with, but the camera is solely on you, so we can be connected with you as a character. When I saw that woman stuff, I just remember my own two bruises. That was the experiment too that I did with him. Just one single character doing his monologue, but it doesn't necessarily look like a monologue. Yeah, it looks like he's acting, but he's actually doing a monologue. And I think it builds you more. And then the style too also matters too. Unlike just doing usual this thing. So make another talk to him, make other people talk, yeah.
So you don't finish all the talk. All right. For those that are just joining us, thank you for joining. We're talking what film shaped you as a filmmaker. And for today's conversation, we're trying to get everybody involved in the conversation. Talk to us. What inspired you to become a filmmaker? What kind of films shape you as a filmmaker? Kind of films that, have influenced you over the years? I might not name a specific movie, but how has that really, this movie, affected the way you look at movies and the way you put out movies? I think the next person I'll go to is Tunde. So Tunde, you have the floor.
I don't. Good evening. Good evening, everybody.
What's up?
I'm good. I'm good. For me, I think I started liking films. I think the first film would be Owoblo. I was a kid, and my sister was loves movies and gets to go to these what did they used to call it then? This place where they used to borrow film, video cassettes and whatnot to watch. So I remember there was a lot of anticipation for that particular film because it was a part one, part two, part three. I don't know if many people here remember. I think they're trying to remake it into, you know, they're trying to remake it, yeah. So so that was the first film that I actually saw. And I was fascinated by the old, how the neighborhood was kind of anticipating the part two. That when the part two came out, they were basically anticipating the part three, blah, blah, blah. So that was that. Then afterwards, I saw Out of Bounds. But all through those times, I never really understood the whole aspect of how do you actually tell a story. But I was just fascinated by the whole process of telling the story. Then things happened. I had to read up on it, blah, blah, blah. But if we want to talk about the films that actually shaped me into the kind of filmmaker that I'm, then we'll have to go back a bit, because when I eventually started watching films, I kind of fell in love with what most people would call old school Nollywood, like those films from the 30s to, yeah, like say the 70s, you know. So which one
probably influenced me? Thunderbolt and Magnum.
Thunderbolt, Magnum, yeah, Tunde Kelani, all of those films. So yeah, they were quite influential in that sense. But the ones that I would say really, really moved me to start thinking of being a filmmaker. Let me just quickly add a bit here, because Binga spoke about the interview, the Elka interview. So when I was doing my own interview, and I was asked why the kind of films that influenced me, the first name that came to my head was the Coen brothers. And I don't know whether that was what made them choose me eventually, because when the interviewer heard the Coen brothers, like, not too many people get to appreciate the Coen brothers films. So when interviewer just heard that name, was like, this guy probably knows what he's watching, that kind of thing. But so back to the question, what are the kind of films that actually influenced me? I always start with one particular film. I think for me, most things, the way I've come to love film came from watching that particular film. It's titled All About Eve. I think it was made in the 1940s or so. So I'm the kind of person where if I like something, I like to also read the script, because I'm not just a film. I'm a screenwriter first before I'm a director. So it was one of those scripts that film that after I've seen it, I basically just went to download the script and I read the script, and it was, I used to say that All About Eve script is probably the best script ever written. So I always start with that. Like, I like films generally, but there are just some certain films that like just made me love filmmaking. So forgive me, I'll have to just run through a bit of names here. It's not too many, but yeah. So All About Eve was the first one that I saw that was like, you know what, this is a way of telling stories that I need to model after. Then I've already mentioned the Coen brothers. Then of the Coen brothers, I would say the one that really, really got me, like I keep telling people that you should see it, is Inside Llewyn Davis. It's a story about failure, but there's a way they spoke about it, about this struggling guy that is trying to be a musician. He's a musician, but he's trying to break through, you know, but things kept happening to him, and in the end, just didn't make it, something like that. So they are good because they have this very, very, again, they have this very, very relatable way of telling life stories. So, and then there is the popular one that most people must have probably seen, The Godfather. I mean, Godfather is Godfather. There is nothing to say about The Godfather. Don mentioned something about genres, yeah? About the horror, for example. In my own case, I don't like when things are on the face, like on the nose kind of horror films. I like when it's kind of twisted, like, so when I think horror, I always think of David Lynch. I don't know if most people know about him. And the film that really, really got me when I mentioned David Lynch is Mulholland Drive. I don't know if most people have seen it. So, or if you want to talk about societal issues, for example, you go to someone like Spike Lee, Do the Right Thing, or Chinatown. What's his name now? Can't remember the name of the director. So all of those kind of films, or a story about love, like The Apartment. So I do not, in my own case, have a particular genre that I don't like. I feel like every genre is a blessing. I just like films generally. So I just like pick. If I say a film is good, I try to tell as many people about it. And yeah, so those like five or six, seven films are like the ones that really, really, really shape me into the kind of stories that I also want to tell. Yeah.
Yeah, I usually say every genre is a blessing, not a top pastor. So, but this one that,
yeah.
But, yes. But this one that Gbenga and today say, you know, you like all genres. It's not like I hate other genres. Nah. I'm just zoning it down to
the film that appeals to you more.
That appeals to be more, you get, and you know, generally just get attracted to. So,
appeals to me.
Everything appeals to you.
Every beautiful film.
Yeah, how do you know if it appeals now? That's what I'm saying. Like, look at it this way.
It is how it made me feel. Like, you understand? Like, I said, film was make you feel something. So, streamlining it to maybe drama makes me feel like this, or tragedy makes me feel like this. Or in fact, funny enough, I even love tragedy. Like I love tragedy, but I cannot dwell on the fact that.
I don't know. I like to love tragedy. You love tragedy. Look,
I cannot dwell on the fact that picking a genre, it has to be tragedy. No, because. I feel disappointed when I see action film.
I get your point. I remember there's something I have a repel for romantic movies. A general repel. So once I see that it's a romantic movie, I have a general repel. And why do I have this? I have this idea that there's almost no story about romance that you can tell again. Like, I feel like it has been recycled. The only story that you know appeal, even though there's romance in it, usually have a higher emotional burden in it. So how will I put it? Say for example, like Forrest Gump or something. Although Forrest Gump is not a romantic movie. But say a movie like Forrest Gump, I'm trying to say is that there's a different side. It's not boy wants to fall in love with girl or girl wants to fall in love with boy. It's about cancer, maybe it's about war. There's the romance in it.
So the romance there is just a sub thing.
Yeah, it's just a sub thing. But when I see a movie that is just romance, boy meets girl. I'm like, what story do you want to tell? The boy meets the girl. He found out that I was cheating on him. Then what happened? You understand that kind of thing? Mm. And that's why at the end of the day, you see if they put two movies and say, oh, one is boy meets girl, the other one is where they are killing everybody. So I'd rather go what the one that they are killing everybody inside. Because I mean, there's always something new in that aspect. But what is it you want to tell me about the love again? You love the two men, or you love three men, and does he know which one to choose? I beg, if you get out.
that romantic aspect.
Yeah. What did you say?
I share your sentiments.
Yeah. So most times, even when I want to write a romantic movie right now, like when I think I mean, it becomes very difficult for me. Is when say, for example, someone comes to me and they wrote a romantic story or they want me to help with a romantic story, I usually find a very hard time working with it, because you see me trying to add some other heavy element to it. I don't want it to just be about that romance or that love, this thing. I want to make it about something. Like, that thing, that something else, is really the main crux of the person's life, not somebody just going about their life and just trying to find a man to get married to, or a man or a woman to have sex with.
Don, if I could come in, I would say that there are two sides to that thinking. Yeah. The thing with telling love stories, is you can be as ordinary as possible with it, and people will still relate to your story. You don't sometimes have to overthink it. You get, sometimes people are just looking for a story that they can relate with. It's not as if it has, they just want something that, oh, this, I've seen this kind of thing happen to me, I can relate with it. And then it will give me goosebumps or whatever, and they are good. It's not every time that you want to overthink a romance story or a love story. Sometimes you just want to be as ordinary as possible with it. But I also understand the other angle that you're coming from, which is that if you want to tell it in a new way, which is why the thing about loving a lot of genres is good, because then you can bend genres. You can tell a love story with... a love story that's happening with zombies or whatever. You get, I think you even got something like that. So, you know what I mean?
The story, imagine two zombies in love.
There's already a movie like
there's
that. There's a movie called One Bodies about the end of the world, and there's this zombie that falls in love with the last human or something like that. Like, I don't know. The human cures her. Like, that's... And it's a very nice movie. I think
The Last of Us.
Warm Bodies. That's the name of the movie. It's a very nice movie. You have to try to inspire that script that today I'm talking about. I think I told you. All right. So, I think the next speaker is Owe.
I've heard it all.
Yeah, we've said it all. Everybody's experience is different.
I like the topic. You know, when I saw it, I was like, I started brainstorming. Okay, why did I actually even go into what are the things that have inspired me? I remember growing up, and I think it was because I had a mixture of all platforms. You know, a lot of people just grew up watching Nigerian films alone. But I thank God, you know, I was privileged. The early days, I think we're one of the few that need DSTV. Big bang. You know, early days.
I worry
too. So foreign movies. You know, Nigerian movies. Then one of my cousins, but actually, I'm still grateful to that guy. He was always bringing. We don't know where to get the tape from. Indian films. We used to watch Indian films. We sit down. Then he will now bring Abidja. All this is all this. You know, Babalawo, the incantation. So I saw it all. I think then, you know, when it comes to cartoons, I always say it's great cartoons. They're not sucking you anyway. Especially cartoons that are like movies. Because Disney had a very, in fact, a huge impact in my life. Although now they started the wokeness, wasn't Daru. But, movies like, let's start from Sound of Music. It was not Disney though, but Sound of Music was a classic.
Yeah.
Everybody saw Sound of Music. It was a story. It was a fantastic movie. Then we saw Mary Poppins. Then even as far back as Wizard of Oz, the first one.
Actually.
You know? Then when it comes to Disney, Tarzan, Hercules, all these movies had a story. Yeah. They knew how to tell the story well. With even putting in the music. So I think growing up and watching, then I now start mixing it with, somebody mentioned Thunderbolt, somebody mentioned the Enkiru Koffi, you know, Igodo, that they used to call Igodo. think that was a very nice, you know, there was a time Nigerian movie was about going into one land, journey into one land to fight one spirit or the other. You know, those are the interesting days that we all felt like we're going on an adventure with them. Where are we going? You understand? You know, but these days it's God that help us. Anywho, so so these are the things that actually kind of then I won't lie to you. Filmmaking was never there, but storytelling. So when I was little, there was this thing. Whenever we travel for a holiday, I want to take pictures. Mm-hmm. I was always the one, because by the time my sister would take the camera and snap, I always noticed that this composition was, I didn't know what composition was, but the framing was just not right. Our head was almost cut off. I was like, yeah. So I'm always the one always now taking the camera to snap. So I made sure I always framed them well. I'm talking about when I was like in maybe 10 years, 11 years or thereabout. So that thing just stuck with me. Telling, you know, I was able to tell the story of where we were in the picture and everything. Not until, and it was photography I started with. My mind was just photography. Not until NYSC, when I now, for some reason, I was part of the NYSC football team. But as God will have it, because I played very well in camp, so they picked us to stay around the camp area that would be playing football. For some reason, it was like as if God just removed the ability to play ball from my leg. I could not play again. We were going for training. I was the one like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? So when I saw that, okay, the coach was no more picking me like that doing training. And I had a camera and I had a laptop. I said, why don't I just tell a story about this NYSC thing? That was when I first picked up the camera to actually do video recording.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought up, I just started, I like, okay, so it's like, I decided that, okay, I could tell stories very well with pictures, because I started taking pictures, I framed them, they were like artworks. So I said, what if I now get into the one that would, these images would actually move? Because I've seen that these things are actually very powerful. Like when I watched Titanic, I think Titanic Tomorrow, I'm like, how did they do this thing? It was interesting, it was cutting at the same time. You know, that's that Cameron, I respect him too. Aside from the rest, Spielberg, Wes Anderson now is one of my boy and framing and bad. Anywho, so that was when I first picked up the camera and said, okay, filmmaking, there's a way I can touch people. Why? Because when I did that documentary, imagine it was just picture. I said, I'll take a picture of all of us in the football team. It will have ended there. Okay, that's your picture. You've printed it. Okay, thank God. Everybody has gone. But what happened was, I started shooting week in, week out. Then the LGI, what do they call those people? I'm at Atilof NYS Multibaggy.
EIG is another thing, though. You go police station.
EIG. I said TIG or something. One of the things. So I think the information started spreading that there was somebody doing a documentary about NYSC, that batch. Before you know it, the man called me. He said, are you the boy that is doing a documentary? I said, yes. He said, won't you put us in it? I said, okay. No problem. I recorded them. I did stuff. Before you know it, I ended up printing. Thank God that I still had a laptop then that could burn into CD data. This is 20, I'm talking of NYC, it was 2012, 2013. So I burnt the documentary. Although when I see it now, everything, when I see it now, the exposure was blown out. And to me then, I was shooting something. It's
now
I'm like, the motion. But there was, but the way I'm going to that, there was a story. And I bought into CDs. And these boys bought it. In fact, he ended up showing on NTA. Was he a day or something? And I heard when people said that they watched it, they said they were crying. So I said, so film can touch people like this. You understand? So that was when the interest, and again, thankfully, I learned Photoshop, I mean, Premiere Pro. So I was able to just shoot and cut by myself, you know? So that was when I think film just had a hold on me, like, bro, if you can move people with, you know, moving images, you know, with music in the background and sound and stuff, then I think that's just where you should go from here, you know? And I discovered that when I do something, like there was a time I take pictures for, you know, weddings, I was never satisfied with just removing the pimples on the face and making it. I wanted to do something artistic. So I was like, nobody will hire me if you are doing artistic, unless you've blown to one level. But I was like, okay, but if I do my film and I put my art into it, or my own picture. So that's why I stopped the commercial thing at some point, you know, the wedding, the advert, and said, you know what, really? Because you want to tell your story the way you see it, you have to do your own and you have to shoot your own film. So I know I've gone above the what's influenced me, but at least I think I've answered that one a bit.
It's still within it,
okay. So that's just basically it. And I always say to some people, because when I came back from film school, I worked at a TV station for, I think, 2 months when I knew that this is not for me. Then you don't deceive yourself. Oh, they're shaking it. You know, running in the morning to clock in, then somebody will not tell you she's removing your salary because you were that late for 2 minutes. I'm like, what's going on here? Anywho, that was where they used to call me one day, Mr. Phil. I said, when you watch a film, there's a feeling that you know it is a film. You know, when we watch low-budget films, there's this feel we have, like something is off.
Yeah.
My mind is that bad that when I watch a movie in your house, then is that bad that I know how a 24 frames per second moves. I know we have these TVs. A lot of people don't have it. When you buy a new TV these days, there's this motion smoothness thing that comes with it that they use for display. People don't actually know. So when you're watching the movie, it begins to look... Because I watched my professional film when I was like, this film is better than this. But it was looking low budget. I was like, oh, it means that that setting is on. So when I go to somebody's house and I see that a film is looking one kind, I say, oh, have you changed your settings to remove that setting? Because it removes it from 24 frames. It starts feeling like 90 frames per second. It starts feeling too smooth. I know, friends, but we need to see that drag that gives it that feel. So I always keep saying that when you watch a film, there's that feel you have. And you're like, hey, this is a film. There's a way these scenes come into, they come into a, you know, there's a way they edit it that comes into a scene and it comes out. There's a timing. I don't know. Some people have that and some people don't have it. How do I see a film that you are still expecting, what's going on here? Before you know, you just see, boom, the end. I'm like, I saw some Nigerian films recently that were, I'm like, Iloshele. They just end it like I see, okay, go and sleep, we're finished. I'm like, you did not end this thing the way you should. But well, that's another story for another day. My wife and I just put on TV and I said, let's watch one of the new Netflix films that have come out again. Okay? The moment it started, my wife said, you know what? Let's just pause this here. Let's not go to
TV. I just got one info. I know the movie you're talking about.
And I just saw
somebody yapping the movie. As you just said, I just saw someone yapping the movie now.
My wife said, I just watch a few minutes because I tell her, I always say, Roda, I have to watch this because this is my industry. I use this so that to pick the actors I want to work with. She said, you are trying, though. I said, I don't have a choice. I have to. So I think another thing that we need to talk about over time is, let's be honest with ourselves. I enjoy the stories those days than now. You know, I don't know what's going on. I'm lost because I feel like now that we have all the technology, all the knowledge, all the camera with all the dynamic range, let's be hammer, but I don't know. But back to it, I thank God for the influence of watching all the movies, all the kind of genres.
Exposure
to what film should really be like.
Yeah.
Those things, you know, kind of helped me to how I... when I sit down, because I always say, I've seen some stories now that I'm like, I think I will not blame the writer, because people are like, who saw this writing? I said, because you can give a story to a director that is good. The writing might not be that excellent, but if they direct it well, sometimes it saves it. Sometimes I don't want to be blaming writers anymore. I want to blame these directors that are directing this thing. I'm like, what's going on? Share your own money.
Writer's fault, it is director.
Sir?
It is director, sir. You are right.
Yes, you know, these days I cannot blame writers anymore because I'm like, okay, when the writer brought this and you saw this, as a writer, I said, no, eBay will make sense. It's not adding up. You have the power to do that at some point, not change the whole story. But okay, this place, it doesn't add up for me, you know. Let's give it some reason. But where we are, like, we pray that God will give our Water 1B opportunity to now speak through our films. Because if you keep talking, they say, oh, yeah, which one do you have? It's on Netflix. Which one do you have?
Exactly.
You are coming.
Exactly.
You are coming.
I think the issue is right now, the stage we have now, we are more focused on the market and technology. Like, our pictures are looking good right now. So we are unlike before, like you said, that we have very fantastic, beautiful stories. Now, we are all about the market, making the money, and then having good picture, like the having glamour. That good
edit,
the glamour and blah blah blah,
I think all these platforms, they don't really look at the stories per se. Once you can fulfill the production criteria,
that's it.
I don't want to completely believe that they are not looking at stories.
I don't believe because the idea. the idea, look at it like that, like this. The idea is they are capitalist ventures. So the idea is if you can sell to them that this movie, people will watch it. That story, and the truth is that for people to watch your movie, it doesn't have to be the best story.
Of course.
Exactly. So you put the three major good what's it called? Maybe three BB Niger people, put Kanayo or Kanayo, put three skit makers. People watch
that's
it.
Now.
Watch it now.
That is why I say the market. So we are divided, and that is why there's always the question: who are the gatekeepers? Because definitely we have people who are in charge of who are directly in contact with the likes of Netflix and Amazon now in question. Like they are the one that accept this film and then put it, like they are the one that say this is good to go and this is not good to go. So there's always that question. That is why I do not blame those who are of the school of thought that the system is biased and it is based on who know who and who you get. You understand? Based on that my person, no, my person system is what you're operating on. Like people have that bias towards it. I mean, I don't go blame them because looking at what we have, it's not far from the truth. Like you would ask yourself, come, didn't they see? I remember seeing there was one film that's I've forgotten what happened in that film exactly. And then I was asking, wait, didn't they watch this film before putting it on their platform?
Enough, I've seen recently. Enough.
It is what it is. Really great together. So it is influenced greatly by the market and good picture right now.
Once you have that, they get. But that time, you know, back in the day, I think they were just because you are struggling and you're trying to you know, put yourself out there. You're not thinking about all those things, and there weren't many. So you're actually being meticulous. Now everybody now.
And those things are memorable, man.
Yes. How many movies these days? How many movies these days can you say after you watch it once, you want to go back and watch Nigerian movies? I can't remember many. But there are so many in the past that you were like, if you can see the tape again to watch it.
What's it called? I was just thinking about this movie, there's Blood Diamond. I was just like, there was just something that is, like if I have the movie now, I'll go and watch it again.
I watched it
a long time ago, but there's a scene that I can never forget. Where Teddy Babyface came and I think he was crying to his mom. He was trying to explain. I said, oh, Mom, the impact that scene made in my life, I say for my life, I don't go steal from dead body. I don't go even collect anything. Ah, God, man. It's just different. We don't have all those again, Sha, but I don't know. Maybe it's just a different time. Now, everybody can make a film. Anybody can sell a film. Just there's a formula. You have this, put it here, marketer, push it, you make your money. Nobody is really looking at it.
We'll not give up. We'll not give up now. We'll just have to continue.
We have to do it. Yeah, I keep saying it. I keep thinking about it. The day that I realized that Christopher Nolan, that the person that produced Inception, Interstellar, that is his wife, that's the producer. I say, Omo, we need to create this kind of collaboration because that's
my brother. Maybe my films you see is me and my wife.
Yes, sir. Don't worry, that you are Christopher Nolan.
Now me and my wife, I cannot come and kill myself. Shebi, what's this guy's name? Taiwo, that did the Honor Vibe.
Yes.
Shebi, now his wife edit the film.
Wow.
Oh, you don't know? We can't come and die. If you want to be in this film industry now, find a wife that is she's in full support. And she also has her own. She's a filmmaker. That's the only way you can survive. Oh, let's go and marry Ivanka. Tell me, good. You must get Andrew there after a while.
My solid brother. Advice. Solid advice.
Ah, that's the only thing that keeps you going. I tell you, that's the only thing that keeps you moving, and you start beginning to see the results. I thank God since she came into my life, me and Nipuro, I keep saying it. I started seeing the results because I know that this person, that traffic me then when we needed to buy medals that day when we were shooting. We just came up with the idea, you know what, let's do this thing. We need to buy medals there. Shoot, my wife took our two legs. She was the one production man. She just said, okay, you know what? I'm on my way to Surulere now. Oh, one who boss, put to Laura Medawa. That day I was like, oh, wow, thank you. Because where would you see people like this? If you don't have that, the guys that do, what do you call it? This movie, this 18 that's on Netflix. Now 18, it's one series.
Yes, I know that series.
It's husband and wife. Who?
I know that series.
There's one series they have too that is called Dark. It's all
gonna Dark. Are you serious?
They are the ones, they are the ones doing every goddamn thing.
But Dark, I've heard good stories about.
They are the ones, though. When you have that, my brother, it's another topic for another day. It is well.
What else motivates you as a filmmaker?
And you know, right now, after this meeting, it's because of this meeting. Me and my wife are already looking at another script, starting one idea we started putting together. So I started asking, now, best friend now is own ChatGPT. Give me a scenario, Monia. I'm not taking ChatGPT back here. ChatGPT cannot be writing story for us. So let him give us a scenario, not to come and tell us.
Forget, let all of us confess that we have not used ChatGPT once. You see, we just test. Yeah,
we have started asking questions. Let me just say, we started asking questions.
I asked ChatGPT question though. One time that I was stuck. I said I need for a particular scene. I said, ChatGPT, create this scene for me. I know
you must create it. That thing is not a human being. That thing is something.
You know, he created it. Funny enough, the thing is, you can't pick it directly. But by the time he did something, I was not. He now opened my mind. Okay, this is okay. This is the possibility. But if you carry it, it might be sounding very robotic because it doesn't have all the information that you have in your head and the emotional stuff. But
exactly.
But that's another discussion for another day, Seth. So for you, I would say, influence watching movies generally. I think you are a film movie watcher and everything just kind of influenced you.
Yeah.
No, but would you say you're drawn? Would you say you're drawn towards the genre, or you're also open to?
I'm just open to good story. I don't think there's any. I feel just like sometimes when I finish shooting, I always tell people that, you know, when I'm done shooting, my edit, when I see the footage, there's a way the footage tells me that, okay, this is how I want to look. There's always it changes my, you know, in my mind. I've imagined everything, blah 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 blah. They say this writer and the director is the final say. I say, when you get to editing and you see footage, the way you saw it before might just change your mind. And one film I forgot to mention that really just, I will recommend it for if you're a filmmaker, please watch this film, 12 Angry Men, the one in 1950-something. Or was it 1960-something? 12 Angry Men is a master class. It's a teacher on its own. Black and white, but the story, the editing, the directing, no. So I guess tomorrow, I always say to my wife, I say, we watch films almost every night. You can't stop. That's not the truth. Yeah. The influence can never stop because you keep learning. You keep seeing that, I can do this, I can do this. So it's just the influence, basically. The influence of seeing good films. Even short films. One of our short films that I saw recently, my body was vibrating. I said, God, how are people telling me, where do these stories, do they come? Which ChatGPT cannot give it to you? Let's leave that one alone, but it cannot give you some stories. You're like, how now? You know, things that you pass by on a daily that you've never thought of, story Jade Latikini. Somebody will now bring out story. You're like, how? You know, so I mean, God will help us. If the cocoa is cut and make a way, you know. If not, you can't talk too much. My child now, my little baby, I thank God for her life. But I think so. She has started, anytime I'm with my laptop, she has started coming. Don't worry. By age 5, you will learn how to edit. So that, it's true. Yeah, this is family business. You will learn how to
edit. Family business, new.
You learn how to edit. Because now when she's looking at me one eye, like it reminds me of daddy. Oh, what they call it? She eats a whole tin of milk per week now. So I'm reminded that this is like, I think Benga was saying it. This is what you, this is what used to make a living. This is our life now.
Yes,
we can. It's too late. Maybe say, well, buy you at my age. It's too late for me to say how to apply for one work somewhere. The interest is gone. The asset is film. Asset is in film and production. But any other thing, will it work? You know? And I thank God for the little growth, yeah. That was just it, guys.
All right. Nice one. Ellen, you can go ahead now.
Hello, this is Ellen here. I'm not a filmmaker, so I'm not sure it's my place.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, well, the aspect of filmmaking you are in, you're a screenwriter, so what inspired you, or what kind of movie shaped the way you look at film and the kind of films you write? So I think that would be the question for you.
Oh, you're very kind. So far, no Nigerian filmmaker is interested in my work, but here's hoping. Anyway, am I allowed to mention foreign movies? Because everyone I've heard so far has mentioned Nollywood.
Yeah, I mean, you can mention movies that you grew up with, and that's the idea. I want to know, you know, the kind of movies that you grew up with. For us, many of us, we grew up watching a lot of Nollywood movies because, I mean, a lot of Nollywood movies were there. But then for some of us also, we're exposed and we saw how movies were made, you know, outside Nigeria and all. So, what kind of movies did you watch? And I'm sure that influenced, or those movies influenced the kind of stuff you write now.
Okay, well, there are loads of movies I'm interested in because I'm the type of girl who likes to chill, relax, be entertained. But when it comes to everything combined, directing, acting, writing, production, editing, I'd have to say Dog Day Afternoon. And if you read the comment section, I've already mentioned it. And I'm telling you, every filmmaker, every screenwriter, but especially filmmaker, should see that movie because it is a masterclass. Everything about it is perfect. And how that movie only received one Oscar is beyond me. Al Pacino should have won the Oscar that year, I'm telling you. But think about it. When that movie opens, you see different parts of New York, different shots of New York, the poor, the rich. And I think what they were trying to say in that movie is that it can affect anybody. And while we're seeing these shots, we hear Elton John singing his music. And then after that, the music stops and then we get straight to the movie. That's the only part of the movie where we hear music. And when I listen to this, when I see that, I ask myself, look at all these Nollywood movies where they use too much music. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand that music is vital because it helps to enhance a movie. It engages the audience. But I think that some movies, not just Nollywood, some movies overdo it. Okay? And the reason we don't really need music is because the acting is so dramatic, really dramatic. And it really draws you in because these are all good actors. But if you listen to Nollywood movies, it just every 5 minutes is violins. Annoying. And then it's true. And then when you come to the screenwriting, for those of you who don't know, Dog Day Afternoon is the movie about two men from Brooklyn, New York, who robbed a bank. One of them happens to be a gay guy, and he's stealing money so he could use it to finance his boyfriend's sex change surgery. And you've got to remember, in those days, sex changes weren't that common. But somehow they got caught, and the bank robbery turned into a hostage situation. So the writing is on point. Some movies, they overdo it with the lines. You know, they give this monologue. And there is a part in the movie where the main actor, Al Pacino's character, is writing his will. Well, he says it, and then one of the bank workers writes it for him. And it's a really long scene, but it's really emotional. If it had been a Nigerian actor, because Nigerian actors, they're so melodramatic. I mean, there are some good ones out there, don't get me wrong. But every now and again, you see a serious movie where you think it's supposed to be serious, a future film, a thriller, and then they deliver their lines as if they're acting in a comedy. And that's just ridiculous. But Al Pacino, he was on point. And the man who played his boyfriend slash girlfriend, he received an Oscar nomination for his part, and quite rightly too, because there's a scene where they're having a telephone call and they're both discussing why he took part in the bank robbery, their love for each other. And there's also the editing. This was in the year 1973 or something. And in those days, they didn't really have the equipment used in advanced equipment used in technology. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Technology used in filmmaking. Well, they did, but not as they have today. So, you know, they really had to think outside the box. Like some of the shots were close up, so you could really capture that person's emotion, you know, the actor's emotions. Like when Al Pacino and Christopher Sabadon, I think that's his name, were having that phone call. Had it been a Nollywood movie, you know, when I first joined this space, I talked about filmmakers not being able to use their camera to visually tell the story. And you all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes there's this actor, this character, who's supposed to deliver a really emotional scene. The only problem is the actor is in Jerusalem and then the director is far away filming in Jericho. Ridiculous. You can't see what the person is going through. You can't see their emotions. That's all I can think about right now. But and it's, it was also quite popular in Nigeria at one point, the movie, even though it was really old. And it's the movie I'd advise anyone to see if they're making a foray into the world of movies. That's all I've got to say.
All right, all right. Thank you. I'm trying to even get... I've not watched the movie before.
Don't worry, you can see clips on YouTube.
I think I'm...
What's the title?
Dog Day Afternoon.
Dog Day Afternoon.
Dog Day Afternoon.
Yes.
Okay, D-O-G for dog, right? There's day. Yeah. Okay, okay. All right, I'll download it.
For Rotten Tomatoes to give it 96%. Rotten Tomatoes has always stingy with price.
Are you serious?
With rating. Rotten Tomatoes is always stingy. And they gave it 96. So, that means there's something there. I'll probably watch it.
I just quickly want to add that, just to praise the director of that Dog Day Afternoon, because we're just mentioning random films. Just so happens that the director of Dog Day Afternoon is also the director of 12 Angry Men. Yeah, so I think another speaker also mentioned
12 Angry Men. We're talking of the one of 1950 something, right?
Yeah, Sidney Lumet.
He's the same director. I have to watch it. That man is a legend.
Yeah.
12
All right. 12 Angry Men. I don't get films. We have film encyclopedia as yet. All right, so why go?
All right. Hey, everybody. Am I audible?
Yes. You're giving us the base.
I'm just gonna start off by saying, unlike what I say, maybe everybody here, I'm not exactly the most... I'm not a really good student of film, let me just put it like that. But shaped me.
Why are you ashamed?
I had to think long and hard for movies that shaped me. And this is a movie I saw long before I thought about making films, long before I figured out I could make my own films. But I would say growing up, one of the first films that really struck me was The Tourist. with Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie.
Oh, Doris, I think I watched that.
And it's one movie. It's a plot twist that has stayed with me. My stories that are unpredictable. So even when I started writing my own films, I always enjoyed having a very important and very hard to see coming plot twist. Now, based on the books I also read, I also really loved love murder mysteries, psycho thrillers, and so on and so forth. So I would say much later on when I saw films like Bad Times at the El Royale and even Murder on the Orient Express, adapted from Agatha Christie's book, Knives Out. Well, Knives Out was really good. Knives Out 1. Knives Out 2 was nice too. But Bad Times at the El Royale is a very messy movie in a nice way, at least for me. Because there's so many different stories going on that if you're not paying enough attention, you might end up missing the underlying story that's being told throughout. And then at the end, you have this big commotion. The ending was clunky, but it was a really well-told story, at least for the most part for me. So whenever I'm telling my stories, whether it's at the beginning or at the end or somewhere in the story, there's always that moment. Even if it's as simple as, okay, so the first, or maybe the second, let me say the first screenplay I ever wrote that got produced. Because the first film I ever worked on, it was not a screenplay. It was a script in the most bare bones term possible, or most bare bones way. But the first screenplay I ever wrote that got filmed was Hope, Hold On, Penance. And it was supposed to be, or it is, an advocacy film about race, abortion. And one idea that I wanted to go with for this film, and we ended up pulling off, was what would happen if you met your rapist. But then the movie is set in a support group, so everyone there is a victim of rape or a survivor of rape in one way or the other. Creating that kind of scenario, very unexpected, and then like trying to navigate what the characters would do afterwards when placed in that kind of position is something that I really just enjoy.
All right, now thank you very much, but thanks for joining us. I think this is 8:36. I think we've really tried, and I think everybody has given their speech.
Sorry, can I add one recommendation, please? Recently, what we do now, I went to a friend's house. When we watch a bad film, in quotes, God forgive me, Nigerian films, I'm in the industry, I've been, but I have to say, some Nigerian films, I'm so sorry. When we watch it, I would recommend everybody to go back and watch this movie to just clear your mind. I don't know if you guys have seen it on Netflix, Fractured.
Fractured.
Yeah. I think I've seen Fractured.
Please go and watch it. I see, I'm leaving this chat now. That film will reset. You know when a director doesn't just... I'm sure that the cast and crew at the end, they too were confused. Wait, what just happened?
Wait. Is it that one that is the series of Glass? No. That's Glass.
No. It's about a man who... Him and his wife and baby were coming back from, I think, Thanksgiving or something. And on the way, something happened. There was an accident. Not a car accident, but the child fell. He tried to jump and catch her, but they both fell together. When he woke up, I think the girl was okay. Then they go to the hospital. They register themselves that, okay, they need to quickly take care of the daughter. The doctor says this and that. They need to do some x-ray. The wife and the daughter go down an elevator. He sleeps off, wakes up, and time has gone. What's going on? Where's my family? And they say, you didn't register any family here. And we're like, what's going on? This man broke his family. Before you know it, I catch you people coming in. The story is, you're going to be watching. You'll be angry. Are these people mad? Maybe we brought our family to this. As in, the director made us feel like we were this guy. The twist is just where you can't watch it by yourself.
I can imagine. The last person that watched us,
in fact, that's the film. It's the guy that does he's the main character in Avatar, the movie. The, yeah. The Cameron, that's the guy that's in the movie.
watching things.
So please, everybody, please just fracture desire. It's on another level. It's on level.
I think I'll watch it. I just read the log line. 2019.
Ah, my brother, please. Go and watch this.
Even if they give film recommendation on one of our spaces.
Just a recommendation. Let me drop off your recommendation too. And every chance I get, it was Benga that made me watch this film. And since the time I watched it, I can't get over it. The name of the movie is Capernaum.
I beg. That film.
Watch this film.
That film. Good news.
You will cry.
It is like a good news I always preach to any filmmaker. Like,
it's beautiful. It's built. The story, I've never had a film that made me so emotionally attached to a character and just really want a character to succeed so much. You get that kind of thing. I've never, maybe I've just watched so many movies that the stakes aren't high or the characters are not, I don't know, they're not driven enough. But I watched this movie and I was taking deep. Me with that, the always from hard guy. Ah, God, watch, see. If you Google it now, the movie, you see the amount, the awards that I won. The movie is not in English. And I realized that I watched that movie and I didn't really feel that it wasn't in English. That was how engrossed I was in the movie. Watch it and let your life.
Directed by Nadine Labaki.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for joining us. We've come to the end of this session. Please remember to, if you're not following the Film Joint, please remember to follow the Film Joint on Twitter and on Instagram, Facebook, and also we have a YouTube channel that we just kicked off. So please subscribe to our YouTube channel also. And also, if you don't know, there's something coming up very soon. We're going to be giving you updates every time. That is the Film Joint Awards. It's an international award for short filmmakers. This is going to happen in December, so stay tuned, guys. And then also, if you're not a member of Film Joint, please join. To be a member, you can visit our website, thefilmjoint.com. To be a member, it's very, very easy. The criteria is there. And one of the reasons why we encourage you to be a member is that you get the chance to vote for different categories when it's time for the awards. So, because we are trying to, in fact, also build a community of filmmakers. And so that registration would really help. So thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much, everyone. Thanks for joining us.